John Ging, signs then that Israel listened to you. What's the situation now? How many trucks are through, and why are they limited? And what's the situation on the ground for UNRWA?
Well, yes, indeed, it's a very welcome development that the crossings have opened again this morning. So far, we have received supplies of fuel for the power plant, and hopefully that will be able to recommence generating electricity. And we're now told that the trucks at the crossing point with food are coming through as we speak. We're expecting 30 trucks in total today, not just for ourselves, but for other humanitarian agencies. We also hope that wheat will come in, because the mills here have run out of grain to mill flour. That's also a big problem. So again, today it's good news from Gaza. Let's hope we can stay now on this track.
And what do you think the reasons are for this sudden change of mind? I mean, it's the latest siege. There were days in which your agency was telling the Israelis to allow aid through, and they didn't listen. Why suddenly a change?
Well, I hope that that those that were making these decisions came to realize over the course of the past number of days just how dire the situation was here. It wasn't just ourselves, but it was from every quarter that they were being appealed to realize that it was the ordinary poor people here in Gaza that were paying a phenomenal humanitarian price. And again, as I say, now let's stay on this track. Let's put the people first. Let's find solutions that relieve the misery here and, create circumstances which will bring about security and stability, and then a foundation for progress on the peace process. Without taking care of the human welfare of people on the ground, you can't expect security and stability. And again, that's been our message, additional to the humanitarian message, which of course should be the first preoccupation of everybody. It's international law regulates that.
What about the Israeli position, which says that 1.5 million people in Gaza have to pay the price for rocket attacks?
Oh, well, I mean, that position just doesn't sit well with international law. You can't collectively punish a civilian population for the acts of a few. And that's exactly what we have to start with. We have to start on a legal basis in terms of this conflict and accountability to those legal standards on all sides, I might add.
Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has been much more forthright over the past few weeks, one's tempted to say, since the Obama election in Washington. Can we expect more comments from the Secretariat itself, trying to draw international attention to the plight of the Palestinians in Gaza?
Our Secretary General has been extremely proactive throughout the whole time of his tenure with in his current position. He's been very distressed.
He's never been there, has he?
No, he has not visited, but his humanitarian coordinator has been to Gaza, and again, we have to acknowledge the efforts from New York. He's been personally engaged. He's been ringing the Prime Minister of Israel. He's followed up directly in phone calls with the Foreign Minister. So again, I think it's not just one individual. It's from all quarters that the humanitarian plight of the people here has been brought to the attention of those who are making these decisions. And thankfully, they have relented and discharged their responsibility, which is to get humanitarian supplies into Gaza. And let's build on that.
Would you say that Tony Blair, who's of course the Quartet Middle East envoy, getting a lot of help from Tony Blair? Is he to be congratulated for his help, perhaps, in this breaking of the siege?
Well, we have to thank everybody for their efforts, but again, much more is needed. I'd now like to see everybody mobilized to, move forward here. We had a 5-month ceasefire, which didn't materialize into any beneficial impact for the people on the ground here in Gaza. It was very good for the people in Israel to have an end to rocket fire, but the people here in Gaza didn't get any benefit from it. The crossing points were were just open for a trickle of humanitarian aid. I hope now we're entering a new ceasefire and that not just the people on the Israeli side, but the people in Gaza here will feel the positive benefit. And it's very simple. Open up the crossings, let the supplies in, not just humanitarian supplies, let the exports out and let the people move freely.
And under international law, you mentioned that Israel was in violation. Is there any way to... any way for any retrospective, well, perhaps even money or fines? I mean, what will Israel have to pay for doing things against international law? And are you working with Hamas in the Gaza Strip as you deliver all this aid, much needed in Gaza?
Well, we are an independent organization here on the ground, have been so for 60 years. We work directly with the refugees. We deliver our aid directly to them. That's how UNRWA has operated for 60 years and will continue to do so. You know, these questions on accountability under international law, we appeal for accountability, and it's for others then to follow through on that. We feel the impact on the ground. We've seen it firsthand. It's created dreadful human suffering and despair, I might add. And it's, again, counterproductive to the overall interests here, which is to bring about stability and security for everybody and then to move forward to a platform to move the agenda for peace forward. So, again, I welcome what is happening today. I hope now that we keep going in a positive direction. The people here have suffered for far too long and far too much.
Chong Ging, Director of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, live from Gaza. Thank you very much for joining Press TV.